plate a potential nugget.
In this podcast, we talk about leadership transitions and people's journeys, but I find it helpful to start with people's early years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I am curious about, Harsh, is how people get formed. You know, we talk about nature and nurture.
Yes.
But talk to us a little bit about how you are shaped by your early years.
You're absolutely right. I think those earlier years really shaped you. In my childhood, I was born in a joint family. And I was born in the family house. I was not born in a hospital in Bombay only. But it was a family house which comprised of my grandparents, my parents, and three of my uncles and aunts and their children.
Wow.
And it was spread over three floors because it was a large family. But we had one common kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So every day we would have the dining table could not take more than 10, 12 individuals. So first the kids would sit.
Multiple batches.
Twice, two only. First kids at about 7:38 and then the adults would come in at, once we finished that, 8:39. And, you know, everybody dined together. It was great fun because, you know, it was just, the family has such diverse interests that one was exposed to different hobbies, sports, musics. Music was common, actually. Everybody was interested in Indian classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I would go on hearing Indian classical music. And that's how I developed my liking for Indian classical music. And then in terms of sports, everybody had a different interest. One of my uncle used to sail a lot. One of them riding. My father played golf. One of my other uncles played golf. So I tried everything. I tried riding. I tried sailing. And of course, I tried golf. And ultimately, I zeroed in on golf as my passion.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is, you know, diverse interests, and we had went on doing new things. A lot of business getting discussed in the evenings because everybody was in business. So I was exposed, just sheer learning and hearing from the others was a big thing. And I think that must have shaped my liking for business. And I was very clear from day one that I was not going to work for anybody else. I had to be my own boss. I didn't have any clue what I was going to do, but I have to be in business. And the other thing is, you know, when you are staying in a joint family, you learn values of tolerance, of consensus, of leading a relatively frugal lifestyle. When, I mean, we all had cars, but why waste money in having two, three, because you may be going to office separately. So when you had to go to office, all my uncles, two of my uncles as well as me would go at the same time and come back together. So if it means that somebody was late in the morning or somebody got delayed in the office, one had to wait.
Hmm.
But that's how it functioned. And, you know, I couldn't have rebelled and said, no, I want to go on my own and things like that, though we could have afforded that. So those early years have taught me a lot in terms of diverse interests, value of building relationships, consensus, tolerance. I think that shaped my future as I entered the business.
I guess not a lot of us have the opportunity to grow up in a joint family context with the diversity of perspectives and interests that Harsh talks about. One of my earlier guests, Vinita Bali, said something interesting in this context when she reflected on her formative years. Something that some of us, even in a nuclear family construct, could bear in mind.
You know, I agree with your proposition of, you know, we are a product of our experiences right from childhood to otherwise. You know, as I think about it, I think the most significant part of, you know, thinking about things in multiple dimensions and not in a single dimension, or thinking about things systemically, I think comes from my exposure and my interest. I guess it was my exposure which led to my interest to a lot of things when one was growing up. So, you know, in school, I used to do sports. I used to do dramatics. I used to, for a long time, I was a student of Indian classical dance, which I pursued in the evening outside of school. So I was interested in doing everything, you might say. Not that I thought about it, but I was also, you know, the school selects a junior school captain and head girl and so on. So, you know, I was thrust into those roles. And those roles, in a strange way, come with their own responsibility, which seems like a lot when you're a school kid. So I think it was a combination of all of that and my exposure to the world of theatre, to the world of classical music and dance, I think refined in many ways, my aesthetics or my thinking about things across a continuum, rather than, fragmenting that, this is school and this is extracurricular. In my life, everything morphed from one to another. The school finished and then we stayed back and then we did dramatics and then we played hockey. And then, so I think in its own way, that was quite formative. That was quite formative in terms of looking at issues from multiple dimensions, in terms of creating a sensitivity and sensibility, which things like, the arts. And when I talk about arts, I talk about visual arts, I talk about performing arts, I talk about theater. I think those things enable you to touch something which the rational, objective world of valuations and, NPVs and IRRs doesn't allow you to. And I think both are important. I don't want to undermine one versus the other. But I think if we can create a greater sensitivity and sensibility and a respect for the bigger environment in which businesses operate, I think it would change things a lot and I think it would help a lot. I think we've become too unidimensional in our thinking.
I love the phrase Vinita uses here, seeing things as a continuum rather than discrete things. I feel that's a useful frame for all of us to stay relevant in this ever-changing world, but also expose our kids to different thoughts and experiences, even if we don't have the benefit of a large joint family.